Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. You can find the link right here in the description. Get away from Twitter. Hang out with us and Heat fans all day long, all day and all night long as well. You get the latest podcast topics that you can suggest to us, and we will vet them and bring some of them here on the show. So check it out, Off the Floor. Again, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This episode is sponsored by Valvoline. Go get your oil change. I'm doing it this weekend. We've got coupons for you. So check them out. The Valvoline Instant Oil Change. You can find the link for that also right here in the description. Save up to $10. Get your oil change and get on the road for the summer. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. We're going to do a little cross sports thing today. I've got a couple of these topics lined up, but this one is in the news, and it is relevant in my view to the Miami Heat. It's a discussion I think that we need to have. Tua Tagovailoa has signed a $212 million extension as the Dolphins quarterback. This happens a couple days into camp after the Dolphins quarterback didn't skip the practices necessarily, but he wasn't doing the full practices, staying away from the contact stuff. I want to, first thing, credit our guys at 3 yards per carry, who are by far the best in the business at this stuff. If you've been following OnlyFans, they've been saying all along that this would happen relatively quickly. I know our guy Alfredo Arteaga has been saying it would definitely happen before they do the joint practices. You weren't going to have Tua out there practicing in those situations. It was going to become a huge distraction for them. So make sure that you subscribe to OnlyFans. Also, excuse me, got a bit of a bug in my throat today. Also, make sure you check out the 3 yards per carry podcast, as well as the All Dolphins podcast, both of which are on our network. That one's hosted by Alan Poupart, and all of the content that Lewis Sung, Hussam Patel, Eric Smith, and others do on our YouTube channel. Why are we talking about this? Because the face of the Miami Dolphins is Tua. He got his extension. The face of the Miami Heat remains Jimmy Butler. He is not getting his extension. And I do think that there's relevance between these two things. So let me start with the overall premise here, right? The Dolphins didn't have to extend Tua. The Heat don't have to extend Jimmy. And they made that clear. Pat Riley made that clear. We don't have to do this now. And there are different approaches to this depending on what you think the repercussions will be, right? So if the Dolphins don't extend Tua, he goes into this season as a lame duck quarterback. The Dolphins have been trying to find a quarterback basically since Marino, okay? Chad Pennington 1 year, 7 or 8 years of Ryan Tannehill sort of running in place. Jay Fiedler kind of managing a more defensive-oriented team. And then a bunch of garbage, right? Like John Beck, Ray Lucas. I'm going to bring back memories for you, Greg, that are probably going to be pretty painful. Gus Frerotte was pretty good for one season. He was okay under Saban. The Dante Culpepper experiment, Chad Henne drafted in the second round. They even experimented with Pat White as a gimmick option. I think there are 23. Joey Harrington, whose big memory was beating his old team Detroit in Thanksgiving. I was up there for that, mostly known for playing the piano. And just a bunch of garbage. Like, I mean, Tyler Thigpen started games. We could go all the way down this list. So with Tua, they've had relative success, right? When he's been healthy, which he was this past season. That was one of the questions. We'll get into that as a parallel with Jimmy as well. Played all 17 games. I think only about 8 or 9 quarterbacks did that this past season. Came back from the hip injury. Concussion doesn't seem to be an issue anymore. Knock on something, right? And they put this like juggernaut offensive group around him. Like the most speed in the league. Hill, Waddle, Mostert. They even drafted a kid in Jalen Wright for the backfield. Devon Achain, who was unbelievable last year when he got his opportunity. So they put a team around him. The offensive line, but you know, they got by last season, and they've reshaped the defense. They are expecting Tua now to win big, okay? Because that's the thing that hasn't happened. Because 2 years ago, he wasn't available for the playoff game. They had to start a third stringer. And last year, they faded down the stretch. Lost that game, obviously, against Tennessee at home, which kind of killed the entire season in the last 4 minutes, and then had to go up to Kansas City in the frigid conditions, and they lost to the eventual Super Bowl champions. Here's the thing between Tua and Jimmy, okay? Jimmy has performed at the time of year in the NBA calendar that the Dolphins are expecting Tua to perform at now in the NFL calendar. He has not done that yet. Okay, again, circumstances have played into this. With Tua, one of the big issues was availability. That is no longer as much of an issue, although anybody could get hurt at any time in the NFL, especially at that position. With Jimmy, the issue is now availability. It wasn't always, but Pat Riley has put that front and center. Jimmy is a decade older than Tua, okay, which also comes into consideration here. And again, the reason I'm comparing these things is this, okay? It would have been an overhang over the Dolphins season. If they don't sign him, every question would have been about him, right? To his teammates, to him directly, to Mike McDaniel, when you could catch the GM, Chris Greer. Everything would have been about Tua on all the shows. Lame duck quarterback, how much money is he going to get next season? Is he going to leave, et cetera, et cetera? Do we think, Greg, that every question this year is going to be about Jimmy Butler's extension? Is this going to be an overhang? Because the Heat are not going to sign him to an extension before the season starts.
Well, the Heat won't sign him, and Jimmy has came out and said that he wasn't interested in signing with anyone. So that was kind of a, if you're not going to offer it, I'm not really willing to accept it kind of scenario. And the parallels you bring up are interesting. There's a couple ways to think about this for Jimmy. It's like, one, this is obviously going to be a distraction, and there's no way around it. The NBA media will flock to a situation like this. The national media will flock to a situation like this and make things bigger than they are. And so can you get through that when you lose a few games in a row? How does that impact everything? But then there's another side of this, and you have to ask yourself, Jimmy Butler has to show himself to be available and playing at a high level to kind of drum up a market for himself elsewhere, because otherwise, for me, I kind of look at Miami and Jimmy and I say to myself, similar to with the Dolphins and Tua, is there really that much better of an option elsewhere? And so that's where, with Jimmy Butler having such incentive to come in, play, be available, and do those kinds of things, and then obviously it will be incumbent on Miami to pay him, I just don't know that he can necessarily afford to have an awful down kind of year with a bunch of cloudiness all around it. I feel like that would upset his market going forward. Maybe I'm overstating it a bit. So I just think that there's incentive for him to cooperate with the process. Whereas, you know, the other side of it is, if you do get off to a slow start, or you're losing, or there's lots of injuries elsewhere and you can't control these things, does your season go off the rails? So that's the gamble here that we take. But I tend to think that they, if any organization is going to be able to keep it businesslike, it's the Heat.
Yeah, you would think so. And, you know, they've had experience dealing with issues before. I mean, various players who've come to the organization have come, you know, with things that they've had to manage, and they do. There is one core difference between Tua and Jimmy, though. Tua wouldn't be trolling anybody on social media if he didn't get his extension. So it's a little bit of a difference in personalities between the two of them. I was trying to figure out how Tua would have handled this if he hadn't gotten the contract. And I feel like, even though he's come out of his shell in the past couple of years, particularly with the local media, I tend to think he would have been able to kind of deflect those questions and talk about, I'm focusing on the team. I think Jimmy's going to handle it that way. But I'm not entirely sure. I you know, and again, I don't know if we're going to get emo Jimmy again at the start. Alex, are you in it? The team is expecting him to ball out this year. I can tell you that. Like, they believe that, because of all the things Greg is talking about, that even if he's irritated, that he will basically take it out on opponents, and not internally. Are you confident of that?
No, just to be frank. Now, that doesn't mean I think Jimmy's going to have a bad year or anything, but I just don't take it, you know, on the surface, as far, because it's just like, I'm also a little bit jaded because of not only all the regular seasons, right, where it's like he's a very good player, but then everybody knows it's like the worst kept secret that he just plays at a higher level in the playoffs when he's healthy. But not only that, last year, when you heard from whoever it was, I don't remember right now, that he was going to have like this fantastic season, you know, and he was feeling great about it, and everybody was like hyping him up, and he's going to have this great season, and that's not what happened. Like, I think we can all agree he probably had his worst regular season in a Heat uniform. Again, still an all-star level player, was still very good, had some drop-off defensively, even though, you know, he did probably have his best shooting season last year, so there were some positives there. But no, I don't expect him to have like a Jim VP type season. I actually kind of think the opposite. Like, maybe he's available for more games, right? Maybe not that much more, but I'm kind of thinking he's available for more. You know, maybe he goes back to being kind of more of the defensive player we've seen. And I think maybe a slight downgrade as far as offense and the offensive load, right? Not ability, but just responsibility. And I think that's because of the roster, right? Like, you acquired somebody who's going to have a pretty high usage last year in Terry, and you want to give more responsibility to your young guys, specifically Jaime and Nico, right? And you also have Tyler and Bam, who dominated the offense for good portions of the last two regular seasons as far as like plays being run for them. And so, yeah, Jimmy has his fair share of responsibility, but I think because of the roster changes over the past couple of seasons and certain guys you want to give more to, I think maybe it's a little bit, if I had to predict, you know, a better defensive season, maybe a few more games played, but I'm not expecting like a big scoring season or anything. And maybe, you know, maybe the shooting stuff continues, right? Maybe he takes one more three game on top of what he did last year. And it's not high volume, but I'm sure that the Heat will take it. But I think, like, you know, when you compare the two, there, you guys going through it there, there's definitely some parallels, right? Like the availability issues, even though there's damn near a decade difference, like Ethan mentioned, the fact that, like, you know, I think Heat fans and Dolphins fans probably expected, you know, think of their teams as better than the record shows over the past couple of years because of like certain injury issues. But then when like national media maybe doesn't consider them like a, like in the group of contenders. So I see some parallels there. The difference is, like you mentioned, that Jimmy has just already, you know, Jimmy has taken him far multiple times. Right. And with Tua, it's like this projection thing, and he's much younger. And it, the big difference to me as far as the two teams is the fact that, like, the Jimmy thing is he's near the end of his career. You don't want to give him this long-term contract, which now it feels like if you want to bring him back, you're probably going to have to give him a pretty long-term contract, as opposed to the extension that they already didn't want to give him, which would have been more short-term. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out, you know, do we go young, or do we trade a couple of these young guys for another piece to help Jimmy in the short-term window? Whereas I don't feel like the Dolphins are in that exact pickle, right? Like, they've got a lot of the guys around him, right? And maybe they still want to improve the team more, but I feel like the Jimmy thing is so central to the Heat and their, you know, the way that they develop over the next couple of years, because they're at some point, you know, at some point they're going to have to make a decision whether this Jimmy thing is going to keep on going or not. And, you know, as you've reported, Ethan, it's, you know, if I'm going off of what you've been saying, they didn't give him the extension. So I'm going to be worried about whether or not he's going to be back next season, especially with, like I said, the Heat already were not willing to give him the short-term one. Now you're going to have to give him a long-term one. To me, it feels very much up in the air, whereas, and correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like with the Dolphins, it was just kind of about paying him and retaining him to not have to reset the, you know, the quarterback search thing. Whereas with Jimmy, it's like, you know, there's more layers at play as far as like what window and who you want to keep and all that.
Yeah, I mean, there is. I think the other difference is, and this is going to sound kind of strange, because obviously the Heat have been the dominant team in this market for the past quarter century plus. In fact, Alex Dono and I, we did this. We went through every year since all the teams have been in existence. So since 93, okay? I'm not talking about Inter, because that's too new, but the Panthers, the Marlins, the Heat, and the Dolphins. And I think of those years, there's only like five seasons that the Heat were not the best of the teams. Okay. Obviously, this year, the Panthers were. There have been other seasons. You know, the Marlins were in 03 and in 97. But for the most, at the Dolphins, it's like three times. I mean, seriously, like three times. Like, that, even when they've had decent seasons, the Heat had a better season in those seasons. But actually, I think if you were looking at this objectively, and I know this is a Heat podcast, the Dolphins are in better position to win this year, I think, just because of the makeup of their division to start. Because the Bills lost a ton of players on defense. They still have got Josh Allen, but they lost Diggs. I do not trust the Jets at all. I don't trust Rodgers at this stage. The Patriots are awful. I mean, really, all you have to do is win your division, and then they get a home playoff game. Now, they haven't won a playoff game of any kind since December 30th, 2000. Okay, but they get a home playoff game, and that's kind of what we've been waiting for to happen. And like I said, they've reshaped this defense. They've brought in a new coordinator, and they have skill players in their prime. Tyreek Hill is arguably the best player at his position in the league, and is certainly in the top three. And they have a running back coming back from scoring 20 touchdowns, and they have an offensive genius as a head coach. They should be good. I think there's more uncertainty with the Heat this year. I think they'll be good. I think we all believe that they're going to be a playoff kind of team, but we also have six or seven teams ahead of them in the Eastern Conference, which means to be a playoff team, they're probably going to have to win a play-in game. So, Greg, I think you know, with the Dolphins, it was sort of incumbent to do this. There is, again, you don't want to go through this whole search. The quarterback position is even bigger than the star player on a basketball team. Like, it is everything. Everybody draws from that particular player. But I think what Alex is saying is right in this sense. You know, the Heat are at an inflection point right now. And, you know, if you look at what happened in Summer League, and with their two draft picks, with the extension given to Bam, with Hakez's continued development this offseason, we're going to see Jovic now. All signs are kind of pointing to they put some really good players on this roster who may not be ready to win with Jimmy right now. And that's why we did that episode about the future maybe looking better than the present. And if that's the case, this does feel to me a little bit like, in terms of a timeline, sort of like a lame duck year for Jimmy, unless he's going to kind of sort of go a little bit more towards the background where he's not as relied upon. focuses more on defense, gives you scoring when you need it, right? Hunts the mismatches when you need it, preserves himself a little bit, but is more consistently available. And if he does that, it's probably the best thing for the team because it means that other players have emerged, whether it's Jovic, Hakez, maybe even Hero. I know people don't want to hear that. Bam, etc. But the reality is if he does that, then it's even harder to justify giving him max money for 3 years, right? If he's going
to... Unless it translates to team success. I think a part of it for Jimmy is when he does it. If he does it in the playoffs again and plays well in the playoffs again, there's going to be teams out there that inevitably are going to be drawn to him, even if it's at a hefty price tag for his age. So that's the one part about it. I think that the availability is a lot more sensitive in Miami than it is the rest of the league. I think that there's a lot of organizations that would take the chance on Jimmy kind of shuffling his way through a regular season if they could just get that elevation in the playoffs, whereas the Heat really need Jimmy to play at a high level for them to secure a seed that gives them a path. You know what I mean? They're not at the top of the conference, or I mean, they could potentially win their division. I think that that's not out of the question. I could see a team like Orlando kind of falling back a little bit or something like that. It's they're not heads and shoulders above the rest of the division, but I think this just puts so much more pressure on this one season for both Jimmy and the Heat, puts a microscope on what the hell goes on there. Because the Heat do have what looks to be a roster that can transition. And that's all of it's funny how quickly this happens because, you know, just a little bit ago, it seemed like they didn't have much in the pipeline and things were kind of like needing an entire revamp from a young player perspective. And then all of a sudden, within 18 months, it looks like they've got a few pieces, right? So that all of a sudden has people talking about, are they shifting to Bam's timeline? Bam is now growing in stature out over with Team USA. Is he going to be able to take the reins in a different kind of way? These are all the question marks that puts a bullseye on this season in a bigger way than maybe even the Dolphins, which is crazy to say. I understand the Dolphins have not won in so long, but with the Heat, this is kind of bleep or get off the pot with Jimmy Butler. And that's like a big deal for the organization and the fans that are watching.
There's one more parallel with Tua that I want to get into on the other side. I do want to mention a great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network, and make sure that you check this out. We've got a contest going on right now. We're going to give away some merch to the winners of this contest, first and second place. Go to betteredge.com, use the code 5RSN, and sign up. Or I've got it pinned to the top of our Five Reasons Twitter page right now. We're running a Team USA contest. We're going to be doing podcasts off of Team USA, obviously, with Bam playing a prominent role. We see that Embiid, missed practice. We'll see if maybe Bam gets even more time on Tuesday. He's going to be guarding his old friend, well, Nikola Jokic, but also Nikola Jovic. So he's going to he gets a two Nico day on Sunday, and we'll be covering the Team USA game. We've got some Bam related props on Better Edge as well. So check it out, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. You can bet there every day on anything. Go to the marketplace, find the line that you want. And unlike that other app in the state of Florida, there is no VIG. You're not giving away money for nothing. So check it out, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com. /5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast, and you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com /5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
So whenever you give money of significance to a star player, and again, $212 million to Tua, Jimmy, you're looking at a price tag. What was it going to be? The last year of that deal, $58 million, something along those lines. I mean, The money's there. The money's there for these leagues right now. We see what the TV contract is going for in the NBA, and this is going to keep expanding. It's going to raise the caps on the taxes, on the aprons, and all that stuff. But whenever you give money in a salary cap league to someone, you're making a decision not to be able to use it for something else, ultimately. Especially when you're talking about aprons. And there's also the opportunity cost of committing to somebody. That means you don't commit potentially to someone else. And I think that on the Dolphin side is what the issue is with a segment of fans. I polled it and it's running basically 2-1 in favor of the contract. But the one is vocal. Okay. That third is vocal. There is an anti-Tua contingent. It's kind of similar to the anti-hero contingent, actually not the same people, but is a similar, they're all or nothing on him. Okay. That this is the way that it is. And their argument largely is that, and the Giants just experienced this with Daniel Jones. Like if you give a reason, I don't even think Daniel Jones is a good player. Okay. But when you give and Mac Jones was another one in New England, when you give a so-so to good player great money, I think in the NBA like Zach LaVine, okay? When you give that player that money, you're basically hamstringing your franchise, particularly if you do it at the quarterback position. And we saw this with Tannehill. 7 years, the Dolphins like sort of ran in place, right? He was better than what they'd had, but not good enough to get them anywhere. And again, that is the argument that some are making with Tua. With Jimmy, it's a little different, okay? But not really. because we know he's good enough. He's worth that money when he's playing at a high level. But if you end up giving him that money and you have this younger build around it, you're not going to be able to go get the star in his prime during the course of Jimmy's contract to complement Bam, Hakez, Jovic, or whatever players are still here after some kind of a trade. Is that, would that be the concern about, because again, it's not our money. Like it's the Arison's money, right? But Alex, would that be your concern about giving him the money? Is that, okay, now you're basically just prolonging a Jimmy build with a lesser Jimmy, essentially.
Yeah, and I think that's why, and it's completely valid, by the way, because I know I've been pretty upfront about my feelings, like since, you know, these conversations started a couple of months ago, since the Pat Riley press conference, since before that, like I thought they should just take care of him because I thought the extension was a decent trade-off as opposed to, like I mentioned earlier, giving him a big long-term contract. Because, by the way, Jimmy doesn't seem like a guy who wants to play another like five seasons, right? So I don't think he's gonna want a five-year contract or anything this summer. Maybe I'm wrong there. Like, who knows, right? But just from what we've seen before, the way he's handled these past few seasons, his general personality, like, maybe it's not that long-term of a contract that they'll end up having to give him after the season. But you're right. Like, it's going to be a worse version of him. He's turning 35 in a couple of months. And although he's still playing at a high level, we've seen some decline. So I think it is completely fair and valid to have concerns about giving him that contract. And when, you know, the stuff you're talking about is like, you know, you're not going to have just a straight up cap space to give to a star like the Sixers did with Paul George this summer. And of course, like the Heat have done in the past. I just think, you know, they've kind of handcuffed themselves to being a trade team over the past few years. And, you know, for decent reason, like I get, and then they had a chance to kind of get out of it a little bit this past year. And they traded their big expiring contract in Kyle Lowry and said, okay, we just want to make a move right now. Cause they were also trying to compete this past season and everybody was begging them to make a trade. And, you know, they succumbed, and I think they could have maybe gotten out of it. And I still like the Terry trade, but I think like that's why it feels like they're so in the middle right now, because they made this sort of win now move with the guy who isn't old, but isn't young. Terry is 30 already. And you got rid of the chance to create cap space or get anything close to it. And now, you know, you mentioned the Tua thing and how controversial it is and how there's like a loud minority, right? You know what it actually reminded me of when you were talking about it was actually Bam, because I think Bam maybe isn't as controversial or polarizing as Tua, but there is a loud minority of people who don't like him and thought his last contract was already an overpay and how he's not a star and how he's not this, not that. He's a role player. Like those types, that type of sentiment was already out there before, and now he got his new extension. Yeah, the untrained eyes. There you go. That's what you can call him if you want. And I'm with that. And now he's got this even bigger extension where he's getting paid. Like he went from getting paid for maybe like an all-star to getting paid like a superstar. And I think it's fair. I'm sure we all think it's fair. Like there wasn't really much disagreement.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to interrupt you here because I'm going to ask. Let me throw this to Greg and I'll pivot back to you. Is it, in your view, Greg, harder to find a Bam or a Tua?
You mean like what you want Tua to be? It's way harder to find a quarterback. I think that like if Tua was, you know, at the level, like for instance, if you're Patrick Mahomes, like that at the quarterback position is more influential than any Bam Adebayo out there. And I'm the biggest Bam fan that there is, but Tua is not necessarily that. So like when you say to me, who's more valuable to winning, in their respective sport. For me, I think Bam Adebayo has an edge on Tua specifically as a player, but just the positional impact of a quarterback in football, if Tua were to be at the level of the very best quarterbacks in the league, and I think he's, when it's all said and done, he'll probably be a top 10, top 12 paid quarterback and guaranteed money out there. That seems about right for Tua, and Bam's money is well-deserved because I also don't think that he's a player that there's no downside to having a guy like that on your team when he impacts winning the way that he does. So it's kind of a weird dynamic there. But Bam is definitely higher on the totem pole than I think Tua is in their respective sports.
That's an interesting debate.
I mean, because he's on Team USA.
No, he is, but to be worth the money, to a better beat in, at that level, right? Like that's, I mean,
yeah,
right. I mean, yeah. I think that, you know, again, the sports are different, and you know, quarterback is one of a two starting or even more when you start adding nickel packages and all that kind of stuff. But like, but the quarterback, if you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. Like that's really in that league. If you don't, I mean, we basically just saw Patrick Mahomes like drag the worst receiving core in the league to a Super Bowl, right? If you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. In the NBA, it's a little different. If you don't, what the Heat will say is, if you, and they said this about Jimmy, if you don't have one of those guys, you got to go get one of those guys, right? And they, I don't know if Bam is one of those guys, but he is central to winning. He's central to what they do. He's the carrier of the culture. I guess that, and we can close here, Greg. Let's go to this with Jimmy, because there's fear on both sides. There's fear of paying him, like we talked, like Alex was talking about, right? They're paying him and the opportunity cost of getting someone else. But there's also the fear of not being able to find one like him again. I mean, they're their results in terms of cashing in on another star have not been good the past few years. Like we've talked about how the level that the development staff and the talent, the collegiate player procurement group is at. Maybe at its highest level ever in terms of the players that they've been bringing through the draft and also as undrafted free agents. But they haven't converted to get the star. We've talked about the circumstances, a lot of it out of their control, Lillard, Mitchell resigns, et cetera. But it is getting harder and harder to get one of those guys, right? So, I mean, I feel like fear drove the Dolphins to sign Tua. Fear of it being an overhang this year, fear of not finding someone as good as him again after a 25-year search, someone who's compatible with their head coach, et cetera. Well, there could be fear of not finding another Jimmy Butler in the next 5-6 years, because Bam's not a Jimmy Butler. Bam is elite at what he does, but he's not going to get you 45 in a playoff series and carry you, right? We agree on that. Like, that's just not him. It's not going to be him. Fair.
I guess I feel a little weird, like projecting out that he can't necessarily become that. But I think that is also me with blinders on to some degree. If we just go off what we've seen based on the data, yeah, he's not going to necessarily be that number one option guy, finals MVP type player, like Dwayne was, for instance. I just think that there's just a different set of skills there.
So are you afraid you won't find another like Jimmy? Had Dwayne, they rented LeBron, right? But
you need circumstances to go right, and you need to get a little lucky. And so I guess I'll close by saying that they're probably going to need Bam to make a few phone calls along the way here to get another one of those guys if it's not Jimmy.
And to be fair, I'm not going to go on here for long, but just a quick counterpoint to what you're talking about, because I do agree with like the parallels you're making and Jimmy kind of being closer to Tua, as far as like you need, you know, as they like to say, one of them ones, right? Like a guy who can just be that guy for you, and I don't disagree. But also, without Bam, this whole build is nothing. And I don't think that's too strong. You know, shout out Jimmy for everything he's dragged them through, and the playoff performance is legendary. He's going to go down as a top three player, whatever it is, you know, top three Heat player of all time, maybe top five at worst. But yeah, like I think Bam is, maybe he's not quite there on that level, but man, he's just been so instrumental to what they do. And I really don't think they get anywhere near, you know, where they've gotten. If let's say not just like you don't have Bam there, if you replace Bam with like, I don't know, somebody else in his like range contract wise who people may think is better than him individually, like even
Sabonis,
if you say that,
Sabonis for instance, that would Sabonis, that's just
or even I was thinking like maybe like a scoring wing who maybe some will take over him, like I don't know, and I'm not trying to hate here, but like let's say like a Jaylen Brown, right? Because I know I've never been like the biggest Jaylen Brown guy, but just a scoring wing who people like and might rank individually higher than Bam. Like if you replace Bam with somebody like that, I don't think they have the same level of success. And I know that they're a weird fit offensively at times, but Bam has just been so instrumental. But yeah, I just think like, what do you do? What do you do this season, right? Like, do you extend this window? Do you put it all on Bam to get you the next guy? Is that arrogant to expect that, right? I don't know. Like, I think they've got to have some intel as far as, you know, how this is all going to play out. Because right now, everything just feels so up in the air as far as like which timeline are you picking?
Well, I'm with you about Bam being instrumental. You don't have to argue with me about that because we're all in agreement on that. We'll say, okay, what was a Bam game in the playoffs? And we'll come up with like a handful. And like Jimmy would have a handful in one series. And I, a Bam game is different than a Jimmy game too. Like that's the other thing. Like Bam can be dynamic and critical without scoring 45. I get it. As can Your Jimmy, by the way.
Better than their offense. Then it's like, you know.
It is. But if you don't get those games from Jimmy, they go nowhere. And that's not me making an argument to pay him to eternity. Okay. But it's just saying, like, if you don't have him, you're going to have somebody else. And unless we think that because, you know, Jaime Jaquez showed a lot as a rookie or something like that, I'm not doing those projections anymore. You got to see it. I mean, he has a mindset for it, I think. But again, with Jimmy, this, you know, he wasn't this in Chicago. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't this in Chicago. He got to Minnesota, kind of giving his own team. Then in Philadelphia, he was the best player on that playoff team, you know, on that group, even with Embiid there when it mattered. But here's how I think this is going to play out. And I said Tua would get signed the day before training camp. I was about 4 days late. Okay. I knew they were going to do it. They had to do it. They had no choice. There was no other, again, you don't want the overhang. And also there's no replacement for him out there. Okay. There's just not, you're not going to start Mike White. You're not going to draft a quarterback and wait for the guy to develop for 2 to 3 years. Chris Greer doesn't have time for that at this point. This is how I think this is going to play out. I think that Jimmy's going to have a good season, but I just don't know if he's capable of having the kind of season that he could at 32 or 33. Okay. I think he will be more motivated. I think they'll get the best version of him as he is right now. But I think you're going to see enough development from the younger players that the Heat are going to pivot after this year anyway. That's where I think this is going to go. And then they may spend a long time trying to find the next Jimmy. That just feels to me like the direction. Having conversations with parties on both sides, and not just that. I mean, just read the tea leaves at this point. You can kind of see the Rozier move to me was kind of a gasp, and I liked it, but like to give him a chance last year. And then because of his unavailability and Tyler's unavailability until the playoffs, Terry's unavailability when it most mattered, they never got to see it. But it did feel to me like a little bit of a last gasp there. Well, to take a shot, he's a first round pick. You know, let's see how this thing looks. Let's get another creator there and all that. And we'll see. Again, you'll have half a season to kind of see what this looks like. But I just have a feeling we're going to be doing a lot of podcasts about these young guys popping. And we're going to say, okay, what's the next build going to look like? That's how it looks to me. I'm not saying that's necessarily what I favor, but I'm saying that's how it looks to me right now. All right. Thanks to our sponsors. Valvoline, get in there, get the oil change. Better Edge, sign up for the contest. Again, going to give away some merch. Apologize for my voice today. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Greg. We'll be back with more on Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.